Hi, this is Eric Topol, Editor-in-Chief of Medscape, and I'm really excited today because I have the chance to visit with Zubin Damania, who is one of the most talented people in medicine, a rarefied talent that I think it's going to be really fun to figure out how you got there. But before we do that, I know as far as your medical training, at least part of it was at Stanford, is that right?
Yeah, my residency was at Stanford.
What about your music background? Because obviously so much of what you do today when you're not practicing medicine is musically anchored. Where did that all come from?
I've always been a kind of histrionic drama sort of queen, always had to be the center of attention. And when I was a kid, I played electric guitar in a vain attempt to improve my dating life. It didn't work at all. And I had very minimal talent. And so what happened was I went to Berkeley, UC Berkeley, and I knew I kind of wanted to do medicine, but I also loved music, and I loved Weird Al. He was my sort of hero.
Weird Al.
Strangely enough, also not good for my dating career to be a big fan of Weird Al and have his posters on your wall. So what ended up happening was I did a music minor and a molecular biology major. And so, you know, with the music minor, I got to play drums on the quad and practice guitar and really kind of learn music theory. And with the molecular biology, I got to hang out with the guy who brought his own folding chair to class so he could sit in front of the front row. Because that was how competitive pre-med was at Berkeley. And I don't think they ever found his body. It was a pretty competitive. But yeah.
Okay, so then, but you're up on all the pop music. I mean, everything from Katy Perry to Jay-Z to Kanye. I mean, so you're into all this stuff, right?
I mean, I love music. Again, to my wife's chagrin, because in the car I'll be playing everything from Garth Brooks to, you know, Ice Cube, and it gets a little bit ugly maritally. But yeah, no, there is no song that we will not parody.
Really? Including like country western?
So I did a Garth Brooks song. We did Friends in Low Places called Friends with Low Platelets.
Now I got friends with low platelets where the nosebleeds flow and prednisone chases my bruise away. Is my spleen okay?
And what was interesting about that, you know, blame it all on my labs, these bruises and scabs. Is it normal to bleed when I floss? So we did that, and I expected it just to be a lot of fun. And what I found is, like, mothers of kids with ITP and these platelet disorders were emailing me saying, for the first time, my kid feels like they have an anthem, and they're playing it at school. And I was like, well, that is beautiful.
You've done some amazing parodies of music. One was that was relatively recent was about... end of life.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that one.
So that was interesting. I knew as a hospitalist for, 10 years in clinical practice, I would see at the end of life that we really torture people. We don't have the discussions in time. Patients are really undereducated largely because of our failure to take the time to really educate them and the failure of primary care in general to connect in our current model. And so I wanted to do something, and I thought we should make it really funny, and we'll make fun of this very serious topic. And then as I started writing, I realized this is not something that lends itself to being funny. Mm. Like, let's take an Eminem Rihanna song, and let's just translate it. This is a kind of institutional violence that we inflict on patients and on our loved ones when we don't have these conversations about end of life. And so that's how that song came about. And when I was rapping the lyrics, I mean, they came very quickly. Me and my colleague, Dr. Harry Du, out of Kaiser in the North, he's a pediatrician. We both feel so strongly about having end of life conversations, and he deals with sick kids. And so it's very poignant for him as well.
Just gonna stand there and watch me burn. End of life and all my wishes go unheard. They just prolong me and don't ask why. But it's not right because this ain't the way to die. This ain't the way to die.
I can't tell you what I really want. You can only guess what it feels like. And right now it's a steel knife in my windpipe. I can't breathe, but you still fight, cause you can fight. Long as the wrong's done right, protocol's tight. High off of drugs, child sedate. I'm like a pincushion, I hate it. The more I suffer, I suffocate. Right before I'm about to die, you resuscitate me. You think you've saved me, and I hate it. Wait, let me go, I'm leaving you. No, I ain't. Tube is out, you put it right back. Here we go again. So insane, cause though you think it's good, I'm so in pain. I'm more machine than man now, I'm Anna Kane. And no advanced directive, I feel so ashamed. And crap, who's that nerd? I don't even know a name. You lay hands on me to prolong my life again. I guess that you must think that this is
living.
Just gonna stay.
So in that example, it wasn't even just the music. It was actually the message of that music that you were bringing into medicine. Is that right?
That's right. And if you watch Eminem's original video, it's very moving. You know, things are on fire, and it really signifies this very painful, abusive relationship. And for when we made our video, it was the same thing. It was this abusive relationship between the healthcare system that is paid to do things to people, not necessarily for them, and this patient who was, I played the patient and the doctor. And the doctor is so conflicted. I took a Hippocratic oath, and yet here I am causing harm. And so that was sort of the message we were trying to convey.
Was that the only really serious one that you've done?
It was, although the one we're about to release in the next week or so, EHR State of Mind.
Nurses, they be burned out. We could use some OT. Tell by our wrist guards that we most definitely
got a lot of funny in it, but it's also an anthemic sort of cry for vengeance against crappy software, outdated technology, and how we need to be moving into the future with electronic records, not stuck in some kind of DOS-based prompt that we get. And so so that's got a mix of serious and kind of funny.
Now, altogether, how many of these videos have you produced?
110, not that
110.
I'm counting. Not that I'm counting. Yes.
Is that right?
110.
Oh, gosh, I've only seen a small fraction of this.
And you're very lucky because most of them are absolutely horrible, especially the very early ones.
Ruben, these are, by the way, you go by Z-Dog. How did you get Z-Dog?
So Z-Dog came about when I was trying to come up with a name for this character. Okay, this is what happened. I was really burned out at the end of my career in hospital medicine because, you know, half the patients I saw didn't need to be there, and I didn't have a voice. We feel so disempowered in medicine, right? You talk so much about patients being disempowered, not having an individual sort of say. I think doctors are in the same boat. We're treated like, you know, cooks, practicing algorithmic medicine. We're disempowered. We're paid in the wrong way, etc.
Specialists, they got it made. We do the work while they get paid. It's the hard doc's life.
So what had happened was I said, I'm going to do this thing on YouTube because of my love for music and Weird Al and teaching and all these things. I want to reconnect with my passion. I went to the chair of my department and I said, I'd like to do this. And he said, you'd like to lose your job then, because that is the most horrible idea I've ever heard. And I said, but then what if I create an alter ego? They may never know. And I reached back to the 90s and my love of Snoop Dogg. And I said, well, how about I just be Z-Dog and we'll just get whatever. And it's got to have two G's because one is insufficiently gangsta. Okay, a G is necessary but not sufficient to be a gangsta. Okay. Two G's, you're done. So it was Z-Dog MD. I put it on YouTube, and that's how it started. It was a cry for help, and I did it against medical advice.
And you've been Z-Dog ever since.
I've been, in Canada, I'm Z-Dog.
Z-Dog.
Yes, which actually is 30% cooler.
Okay, now, as Z-Dog, I mean, give me some of the ones that are, one of them I remember was Katy Perry with snoring and sleep apnea or something. What was that?
Yeah, you know, the original song when I heard it, you know, you're gonna hear me roar, I'm like, oh yeah, or snore. And so we did we redid it. I played guitar. We did an acoustic unplugged version, basically. You know, at night at night I bite my tongue and hold my breath. The decibels I'm making wake the dead.
I've got obstructive sleep apnea. Oh crap, we are about to get CPAP. We so tired, can't respire. So you're gonna hear me snore.
I mean, you get the idea. And the idea was raise awareness for this problem that a lot of people don't understand. You know, my partner snores so much it keeps me awake, but this can actually be a medical crisis, right? And you shorten your lifespan.
You have this mixture of both comedy and music. I mean, you can sing. You can really sing.
You know, let's put that in air quotes because, I mean, I can sing okay. Auto-tune helps me dramatically. Certain things that are in my range, I sing well. If I'm trying to sing a Taylor Swift song, like we did a version of Blank Space called Blank Script about prescription drug abuse. And when I'm singing that, it's like, and there's a lot of auto-tune, and I just don't do that live because it just gets ugly.
But the comedy is awesome.
It's fun.
Now, what's the funniest one, you think, of all the ones you've done, or a couple of the funniest?
There's a couple that I love the most personally, and these are like sort of our director's choice. The Confrontation, which was a parody of a Les Mis song called The Confrontation between Javert and Valjean. But we've respun it as a confrontation between a hospitalist and an emergency department doc. And there's a scene where they're circling each other in the ER, and each of them is shouting at each other the sort of typical characteristics of their specialty. And, you know, the ER guy's wearing spandex and climbing Machu Picchu, and the hospitalist's, you know, mentally obsessed with labs and, you know, trying to block these admissions. And it's just, it's epic. And the other one I love is Readmission, which was an R. Kelly parody of Ignition. And that one just...
Oh, I remember that
one. It's just such a perfect fit. You know, it's my 10th-3 admission. I'm not the sharpest clinician. Never thought a CHF patient ought to eat Kentucky Fried Chicken. It writes itself, Eric.
That was my favorite. I lost it during that thing. It was just amazing. Now, these are big productions. This is not just you. This is like you get a whole bunch of other people, and you've got so much stuff in there in this, you know, few minutes of... This is like Hollywood, but better than Hollywood. How do you do this stuff?
I fooled you then, because mostly it is me until the last maybe 3 or 4 videos, and now we have a very small crew, and we get extras from around the country. Actually, people will fly in if I put it out on Facebook. They'll be like, I'll be there.
Really?
It's great because it's now kind of a thing, and so... What we have now is a crew called Variables of Light out of Las Vegas. They get me. Their director is married to a nurse practitioner. It's like, it's a perfect synergy. Now I have a team to bounce ideas off of, whereas before it was me with a handy cam and a green screen and Final Cut just editing.
But you write it. You do
most of it with my partner, Harry, helps me with the lyrics. Right. And sometimes I'll crowdsource lyrics from Facebook. And nurses are amazing at writing lyrics. And they'll come up with that perfect line. And I'll just pop it right in. With absolutely no credit to the nurse.
Some of these are actually in the medical setting, in a hospital, wherever. Do you actually go into the hospital and you clear people out and say, we're taking over?
Or? Yes. So we are very deep friends with our local county safety net hospital, and they have been absolutely lovely. And they rally the troops. We can use their facilities. We shoot on the helipad. It's moving to see that level of support from people who are so busy.
Well, you know, this impact, because traditional, like publishing articles in journals or... you know, the usual way you affect change is trumped by something like this, because it's not only remarkably entertaining, but it actually gets to people. I mean, this has the power of changing people's minds and behavior, particularly in medicine, which is not so easy, than a lot of the other things that we do normally, don't you think?
Well, so I'm a firm believer in that philosophy, and the Heath brothers have a book called Switch about how you change behavior. And they use a metaphor. There's the elephant, which is our heart, mind, motivation, fears, emotions. And then there's the rider that sits on top of the elephant that guides the elephant. He's about this big, and he's our intellect and strategy and planning. Well, guess who wins when there's a conflict? So in medicine, we're really good at confusing the rider and kind of yelling at him directions, but we don't motivate that elephant. And we certainly don't make the path easy for them. So what ZDog tries to do is motivate both. Okay, let's talk to the intellect, but let's get that elephant dancing and moving and remembering and get a song stuck in their head so the next time they're thinking about CPR, like someone drops in front of you. Okay, I remember there was a song. Z-Dog did an Usher parody of Clear because it was exactly 100 beats per minute. And, you know, it was like...
Hard and fast in the center of the chest. Two hands are really all you need. Hey, now say clear.
And I remember that one too.
Oh my gosh.
I don't have to do mouth to mouth because it's gross. And so I will just push on the chest hard and fast and call 911. And so if that happens at all, we did a One Direction parody called One Injection about the importance of flu shots.
Because influenza can end ya, it's plain to see. It may blow, but go and get your flu shot, yo. All my homies at Zappos.
And we played it at a Zappos, the company Zappos. Their
all-hands
meeting.
Oh, I was going to get to that. Yeah.
And we played it at their all-hands meeting, and year over year, they had a 30% increased uptake of flu shots, largely because part of the message was you can make vulnerable people sick by not getting this. Even if you're going to be okay, you can kill a baby or an elder, and so you should do this. And that motivated their elephant. So that's kind of how we work.
Do you see so far that more of the impact is with consumers rather than the medical community?
Actually, the opposite is what I've seen, Eric, because I think I speak the voice of the tribe of medicine. And actually, if I could wave a magic wand, I'd love to broaden it more. Because what I find is activist patients, e-patients, really people who have a stake in healthcare, they're big fans. Physicians, nurses, EMS, they're big fans. What I'd love is the lay population, which means we have to broaden our appeal.
Well, that's you're building up. I mean, you're ready for this. And, you know, the level of quality, the creativity, it just keeps soaring. And so it's a kind of inevitable track that you're on. And I think that's what establishes you as a truly rarefied. There's no one like you, Zubin. So now let's go to this other part of your change, which is in the medical sphere. So this is more traditional for the Medscape audience. And that is you're trying to change medicine too, not just through these video productions, but also through Turntable Health. In Las Vegas. And can you tell me a little bit about that and also your relationship with the CEO of Zappos and all that?
Sure. So when I started making the YouTube videos, it turns out the CEO of Zappos, Tony Hsieh, went to school with my wife back in the day. And so I had his email, and I would send him my videos because I'm like, oh, this guy understands how to get into people's heads and culture and those sort of things. And he never responded, and I just assumed it went into that billionaire stalker box that emails go into. I'm sure you have one, Eric, being a superstar. And what happens, I need to get one just to pretend I'm a superstar.
You will have one.
One day. And so what ended up happening was I never got a response. And one day I got an email. Hey, I've been watching your videos. You need a restraining order. Something's wrong with you. I'd love to have dinner. And I'm like, perfect. So, you know, he really
wrote that?
He really, pretty much.
You need a restraining order?
I mean, something to that effect in a Tony voice. And he came by and he said, here's this thing we're doing in Vegas. I'm investing $350 million of my own money, curating the development of downtown Vegas. We're moving Zappos into the heart of it. And I want you to quit your job at Stanford and quit your wife's job, who's an academic chest radiologist at Stanford, and move your two little girls from Palo Alto to the heart of downtown Las Vegas. I will give you a little startup money, but you have to figure out how to make healthcare better. And he drops the mic and walks off. And, you know, my jaw drops. I Google healthcare innovation in Las Vegas, and the first hit is the Hangover Heaven bus. And I'm like, they did not with $3 billion could you do this, Tony.
And the Commonwealth Fund ranked them of places for quality of healthcare in the bottom whatever. Out of 50, they were 48 or something.
Yeah, they're like being that. Too kind, honestly. I mean, it's really a tough situation. There's not a big academic presence, very fragmented. Take everything that's wrong with our healthcare system in America and just magnify it. Good people there trying to do their best.
Right.
But it is absolutely hard to do. So 2.5 million people, no sense of cultural identity of their own, but downtown was starting to appear to be that. So Tony said, do this. Well, you know, I ended up taking the bait. We moved to downtown, and we studied the problem. We said we only spend 4% of our healthcare dollars on primary care and prevention. In the hospital, I'm seeing the failure of primary care and prevention. So let's double down or triple down on that. Let's make it a flat fee, a membership model. Let's partner up with somebody who knows how to do it, Iora Health, I-O-R-A, with Rashika Fernandopoulet out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. They had built these pilot clinics, and I said, and they were using this great model. Health coaches drawn from the community, hired for empathy, trained up, you know, to do motivational interview and all these other things, and they were driving the care, and the doctor then could go room to room practicing at the top of their license. It was really brilliant. I said, let's make an iPhone that runs your app. So Turntable Health then allows anyone to sign up with a credit card or an employer to pay for memberships for their employees, especially self-funded employers, because they have so much skin in the game, right? And then the third party is insurance plans. So Nevada Health Co-op, not-for-profit, member-owned, started with Affordable Care Act funds. They said, we will pay your membership fees and wrap a catastrophic insurance around you and put it on the exchange so people with no money can get federal subsidies to use you. And so it was egalitarian across board. It wasn't concierge, no co-pays, unlimited access, yoga studio, teaching kitchen, health coaches teaching classes, yoga, meditation, nutrition. And it has been amazing. We opened about 2 years ago in downtown.
That's just 2 years.
Just 2 years.
That is amazing how much you've been able to change that and set up a model, a whole new model.
Well, you know what? Finances the whole thing, Eric, is a meth lab that we put in the back. And people ask me what happened, and I said we broke bad in 2013, and it's been uphill ever since. I still have all my teeth, though, so that's a start.
Can we edit it? Edit.
Okay, so you are doing something that's very unique. You're on an arc that's having progressively more, and I think we'll have even exponential impact. I think that's in the cards. Where do you go from here, Zubin?
I think our next step, you know, is to work with IORA to spread this model throughout the country, and it's already happening. Medicare Advantage in Phoenix, in Washington State, multiple clinics across the country on exchange-based plans. It's going to be a transformative thing for primary care. And then on the ZDOG side, which is my sort of super passion, more videos with better production that address the sort of bigger picture of healthcare in the U.S. And on top of that, we're talking about starting a little YouTube-based show called something like Against Medical Advice.
Wow.
And we're thinking it'll be like a daily show or Colbert Report, but for medicine. I would love it if you could commit to be my first guest.
I want to do it.
Oh, we will.
Sign me up.
We will break the internet. Eric, I'm...
So how much of your time are you putting into the video production side?
Too much according to my team at Turntable. Not enough according to my team on the video side. So a lot.
A lot?
Yeah,
like
a lot.
Half of your time?
Probably maybe a third of the time.
Third? Wow. Yeah, that's impressive.
And then traveling, doing addresses and keynotes, and that's part of evangelizing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, look, congratulations on what you've already accomplished. You've set a whole new path in the medical world. And I think it's going to, it already has had some pretty stunning effect. And I think it's destined to keep up on that path. So congratulations. And you certainly fulfill one of the most interesting people in the world of medicine. We'll look forward to watching the progress and watching these videos. And for those of you who have not seen ZDOG's videos, you got to just tune in because they're really quite amazing. This is truly rarefied talent. So, Zubin, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks all of you for being a part of the Medscape series of this one-on-one with some of the most interesting people in our field.
Medscape, represent.